This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yeheyes Wuhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
It says the lack of rain is likely to extend to parts of Eritrea, most of Uganda and Tanzania.
That's VOA's Lisa Schlein reporting on the severe drought condition in the Horn of Africa. Details coming up. Also, Germany says it will begin repatriating art objects once looted from the Kingdom of Benin to Nigeria. These stories and more on African News Tonight. We start with our top story. The World Meteorological Organization warns millions of people in the greater Horn of Africa will likely face a fifth consecutive season of insufficient rains. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The UN Weather Agency says the terrible four-year-long drought in the Horn of Africa is set to continue for another year. World Meteorological Organization spokeswoman Claire Nullis says the seasonal climate outlook for the region, which was issued Thursday, bears bad news for millions of people who already have suffered the longest drought in 40 years.
The predictions show high chances of drier than average conditions across most parts of the region. In particular, the drought-affected areas of Ethiopia, Kenya, and Somalia are expected to receive significantly below rainfall until the end of the year.
The WMO notes the October to December season contributes up to 70% of the annual total rainfall in the equatorial parts of the Greater Horn of Africa, particularly in eastern Kenya. It says the lack of rain is likely to extend to parts of Eritrea, most of Uganda, and Tanzania. Last month, humanitarian agencies and the regional bloc IGAD issued an alarming report about the growing number of people suffering from acute hunger in the region. World Food Programme spokesman Thompson Feary says drought is not a new phenomenon in the Horn of Africa. However, he says what is happening now is more severe and is occurring with greater frequency.
Hunger and malnutrition is worsening across all drought-affected areas. And there's a very real risk of famine in Somalia. I think this is well documented. This is on the record. This is in the public domain. No one is called for famine now, but it does not mean it may not be declared in the coming months. It is very much a real threat.
UN agencies estimate more than 50 million people in the Greater Horn of Africa suffer from acute food insecurity. The director of the WMO's Regional Climate Center for East Africa, Gulet Artan, warns the region is on the brink of an unprecedented humanitarian catastrophe. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
A delegation representing components of southern Libya has threatened to form a parallel government similar to other existing governments or to demand United Nations intervention if the rights of the southern region, which they outlined in a set of basic demands, were not met. It also called for the South's representatives to the 5+5 Joint Military Committee, just like other regions. Wolfgang Porstai, a security analyst and former military attaché in Libya, discussed these demands and the possibility of a third government in Libya with VOA senior analyst Mohammed Al-Shanawi.
Fezzan, which had been rather neglected ever since, is increasingly trying to emancipate itself, and they are pushing for equal treatment with the other two regions, Tripolitania and Cyrenaica. Despite the South's complete disunity, these efforts are likely to intensify. And they are right. With the exception of the Minister of Finance, Khalil Al-Malbrouk, the Fezzani ministers in the GNU do not really have important roles. Minister of the Interior Khalid Mazen from the Al-Hazauna tribe has been most recently replaced by someone from Tripolitania. Last week, Fezzan-born Minister of Environment Al-Arabi Munir raised an argument about fuel support for the South. Prime Minister Dabeiba yelled at him that he should only concern himself with his own ministry. So I don't expect that the Fezzani demands will be fulfilled anytime soon. While it could not be ruled out that as a consequence the Fezzanis could establish such an own government, its significance will remain very limited. The only one real means of influence they have, or weapon, are blockades of the oil fields and of the water supply system, the main man-made river.
Another tough demand from the South is to assign the position of the Speaker of the Parliament to the South. How could such a demand be met if Aqila Saleh is clinging to that job even if it has expired?
Well, the Fisanis are also right here. The chair of the HUR should be someone from the South, as the Prime Minister, Abdulhamid Dabeiba, is from Tripolitania, and the chair of the Presidential Council, Mohamed Al-Menfi, is from Cyrenaica. However, the position of the chair of the House of Representatives is way too important for the Cyrenaicans, so they won't give up on it easily. Aqila Saleh is one of the very few Eastern politicians with a really high profile, mainly due to his role as the chair of the HUR. If he would be replaced, this would be almost certainly also a boost for LNA commander Khalifa Haftar, who had been in the past at most times on odds with Saleh.
In a clear reference to the forces affiliated with General Khalifa Haftar's sons, the delegation pointed out that the military, claiming to be the guardian of Fezzan and its security, should go and protect the country's borders rather than imposing royalties and collecting scrap metals in the south. Would Haftar pull his forces from the south?
This is also very unlikely, extremely unlikely. However, most of the LNA forces in Fezzan are local militias affiliated with the LNA. For example, the 173rd Infantry Brigade, which is responsible for securing most of the border with Algeria, consists mainly of local Tuareg. The role of the LNA units from the east who are deployed to the south is something like a mobile reserve force, conducting what they call counter-terrorism operations and interventions in local quarrels. The Fezzani delegation is certainly right in their statement, as several of them have a very, very bad reputation among the local population.
So if the south demands are not met, could Libya end up with three rival governments and an eventual federation?
This could very well be the case. They could end up with three rival governments, but only the one in Tripoli has access to the funds of the Central Bank of Libya, which means this is the only one of relevance for the population. Fatih Bashagha's government has next to nil influence on the ground, and if it does not make it to Tripoli very soon, it will probably disintegrate. However, an eventual government in the south and the eastern offices of the Bashagha government of national stability could become the nucleus of regional governments under the umbrella of a federation.
That was regional security analyst Wolfgang Porstai speaking to VOA's Mohamed El-Shenawi. Germany says it will begin repatriating hundreds of art objects to Nigeria this year. The Benin bronzes and other metal plaques and sculptures were looted by British expeditionary forces during colonial times from the Royal Palace of the Kingdom of Benin, now southwestern Nigeria. The Associated Press says they were later sold or donated to collections around the world, with several hundreds winding up in the Ethnological Museum in Berlin. In an agreement with Nigeria's National Commission for Museums and Monuments, a third of the objects will remain on loan in the German capital for 10 years. The Associated Press says the head of the Nigerian Commission hopes other museums around the world will enter into similar deals. Other galleries with Nigerian artifacts include the National Museum of African Art in Washington, the British Museum in London, and the Musée d'Orsay in Paris. An Ethiopian government airstrike hit the capital of the volatile Tigray region Friday, reportedly killing several people. The airstrike follows the collapse of a humanitarian ceasefire in northern Ethiopia that had halted fighting for 5 months. Henry Wilkins reports from Gambella, Ethiopia.
The French news agency AFP reported Friday the Ethiopian Air Force bombed targets in the Tigrayan capital of Mekele. A doctor at a Mekele hospital later told Reuters news agency the airstrike hit a children's playground, killing at least 4 people, including 2 children. The Ethiopian federal government issued a statement online advising all citizens in Tigray to keep away from potential military targets. Some on Twitter pointed out that most communications have been severed in Tigray for months due to a government shutdown of the internet, and that people inside Tigray would have no way of seeing the statement. and a text message to VOA, government spokesperson Salama Witkasa said the Ethiopia Air Force is targeting only military sites. He accused the TPLF of dumping fake body bags in civilian areas in order to claim that the Air Force attacked civilians. An information war between the federal government and the TPLF has been ongoing since their conflict began almost 2 years ago. Airstrikes are another escalation in the recent return to fighting in northern Ethiopia. On Wednesday, ground fighting in the Amhara region effectively ended a five-month ceasefire, which had raised hopes of peace talks. The international community has expressed grave concern over the renewed hostilities. Humanitarian organisations say even before fighting intensified, large parts of Tigray were likely in a state of famine. Henry Wilkins for VOA News, Ethiopia.
In South Africa, the deadline is fast approaching for 178,000 Zimbabweans whose special residency permits will be terminated in December, and many have run out of options. The ruling African Congress recently said that the safety of undocumented migrants can no longer be guaranteed due to threats of harm by residents. The statement is forcing many to stop preparing their homes in Zimbabwe for when they are finally ordered to go back. Tuso Kumalo reports from Johannesburg.
46-year-old Gretman Mkwebu came to South Africa in 2002 to look for greener pastures. South Africa has become a second home for this father of six. But like all who were issued with the Zimbabwe exemption permits 10 years ago, he no longer sees a future in South Africa beyond December 31. And foreigner groups such as Operation Dudula, meaning chase out, are issuing threats against illegal immigrants. Mkwebu told VOA that he has already started preparing for his possible return.
I'm prepared to go home. I've got a family there home. I've got a home. It will also give me another opportunity that I can sort out other things that I didn't manage to do them back home. So, yeah, we must accept it. Right now, I was on the plans of drilling a borehole so that when I'm home, I will start growing other stuff, crops, veggies, fruits, so that I can make a living.
Out of the total of 178,000 Zimbabweans issued with the exemption permits, Home Affairs says only 6,000 have applied for alternative documents. Most of these Zimbabweans say they are doing low-skilled jobs and do not qualify for the mainstream permit. Mercy Mvundla, another special permit holder, spoke to VOA about the strategy of many Zimbabweans preparing for the possible return home.
We must just say to illegal immigrants, we can no longer guarantee their safety. The anger of our people has reached boiling points. They must now hand themselves over to the police. We can no longer guarantee their safety. Our people are angry. We can't guarantee their safety. If police don't act with speed, communities are going to be forced to act on their own.
There are some who have decided they would rather stay without permits than suffer in Zimbabwe, where unemployment is estimated to be over 80%. However, they are reconsidering their stance after growing anti-foreigner sentiments, including anger over the recent gang rape of 8 women of a film crew by suspected illegal immigrants. Statements by African National Congress spokesperson Pule Mabe brought even more fear for those planning to remain after the expiry of their permits.
We must just say to illegal immigrants, we can no longer guarantee their safety. The anger of our people has reached boiling points. They must now hand themselves over to the police. We can no longer guarantee their safety. Our people are angry. We can't guarantee their safety. If police don't act with speed, communities are going to be forced to act on their own.
The Home Affairs Department recently notified employers about the nearing expiry of the Zimbabwean permits. In the court papers responding to organizations who want the termination to be stopped, Home Affairs insist that come December, the documents will be terminated because they were never meant to be permanent. Some citizens who have supported the minister's stance have vowed to take the law into their own hands if those holding these permits remain in the country after the expiry date. During his recent working visit to South Africa, Zimbabwe's Foreign Affairs Minister Frederick Shava said the government of Zimbabwe is ready to receive those who will not be able to renew their permits. But these sentiments have attracted anger from a lot of diasporans who say their return will plunge them into unemployment and suffering. Thuso Khumalo for VOA News, Johannesburg.
You're listening to African News Tonight on The Voice of America. I'm Yehiyes Wuhib in Washington. Please note, we have moved our programs from voanews.com to voaafrica.com. There, you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. Find us on voaafrica.com. French President Emmanuel Macron called for truth and recognition of the past today on the second day of a visit to France's former colony Algeria, aimed at mending their often painful ties. The three-day trip follows months of tensions between Paris and the North African country, which earlier this year marked six decades of independence following 132 years of French rule. After their meeting Thursday, Algerian President Abdelmadjid Tebboune indicated the two countries would work towards a better relationship. Tebboune says he and President Macron discussed all issues about the bilateral relationship and that they are adopting a new approach based on establishing an exceptional and comprehensive partnership in light of mutual respect, trust, and balance of interests. Macron said his government seeks to acknowledge the legacy of the old colonial era and then build a new future.
Le passé, nous ne l'avons pas choisi. Nous en héritons, c'est un bloc.
Macron says we do not choose our past, we inherit it. It's a package. We have to look at it and acknowledge it. But we have a responsibility to build our future for ourselves and our youth. He said that this one of the main goals of his trip. Another goal was to help secure greater supplies of Algerian natural gas as the European Union works to cut its reliance on Russian energy supplies because of the war in Ukraine. The two leaders also discussed ways to cooperate on stemming illegal migration from Africa to Europe, while at the same time increasing legal migration, especially for those with family in France. Botswana has suspended all beef exports, including to the lucrative European Union market, following a suspected outbreak of foot and mouth disease this week. The Southern African country is one of the world's top beef exporters. From Habrone, Botswana, reporter Mokondisi Dube has the details.
Botswana's acting director of veterinary services, Kifense Mutsekwa, says all exports were halted as of Wednesday, August 24th, pending investigations. The suspected outbreak of foot and mouth disease was reported in an area near the Zimbabwe border.
We are testing suspicions of foot and mouth in the northeast district, the village called Utali. I have to emphasize, still a suspicion. So, but since the strong suspicion, we suspended movement. This is to control the standard way of controlling foot and mouth. Basically, we will know, we'll confirm when we get laboratory results. We'll be in a position to say yes, indeed, it's confirmed.
Neighboring South Africa suspended exports last week to curb the spread of the highly contagious disease, which affects cloven-hoofed animals. Botswana veterinarian Mbachi Mazuduma says if the outbreak is confirmed, steps to blunt the spread have to be taken.
The short term would normally involve either stamping out, which basically will involve slaughter of all infected and in contact animal. That is a traditional way. But it is slowly falling out of favor because countries like England, even Botswana, used to use that strategy. But it comes at a great cost because it means people have to be compensated, etc. And there's also the environmental issues of animals that have been slaughtered. How do you dispose of them safely?
Mazinduma says there is an alternative strategy to halt the spread.
The second containment measure after that is once you've decided and known where the animals and which animals are infected, is to do what you call ring vaccinations to create a buffer. Basically, in other words, around those the infected area, those animals that are within that area or that is adjacent area, they are vaccinated. And immediately at the same time, these things can also happen in tandem, surveillance is also done. If it is animals that have been previously vaccinated, the new technologies now are able to differentiate disease if it is present in an animal that has been vaccinated or disease in an animal that has been infected.
Botswana earlier introduced a shoot to kill stray cattle crossing from neighboring Zimbabwe in a bid to contain the spread of the foot and mouth disease. For VOA, this is Mkondisi Dube in Gaborone, Botswana.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Nearly 20 million people living in the Horn of Africa are facing a crisis of food insecurity. The region has suffered four consecutive droughts and is looking at a fifth come October. The Horn region has two rainy seasons per year, said USAID Administrator Samantha Power, who recently visited some of the most seriously affected regions in Somalia and Kenya. This is the first time in history, she stressed at a recent talk here in Washington, that the Horn of Africa has suffered four consecutive failed rainy seasons.
Today, pasture lands are turning to dust, and in near biblical scenes, weakened farm animals are dying of disease. To date, at least 7 million livestock have already died in Ethiopia, Kenya, and Somalia. There just isn't enough water to quench their thirst or enough grass to feed them.
Through the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, the government of the United States is providing critical humanitarian assistance, totaling $1.2 billion to the three most severely affected countries in the region, Ethiopia, Kenya, and Somalia. Early humanitarian investments are critical to saving lives. In Ethiopia this year alone, the United States is providing $668 million in support of more than 8.1 million people whose survival is threatened by the historic drought. In Kenya, the drought has pushed more than 4 million people to the edge of starvation, with communities in the arid and semi-arid land countries having been hit the hardest. By the end of May, some 70% of crops were reported lost, along with at least 2.4 million head of livestock. USAID is providing to the people of Kenya nearly $255 million in emergency food and other critical humanitarian and development assistance. And in Somalia, 7.1 million people are affected by this crisis. More than 3 million agricultural animals have died, and 1.4 million children are facing acute malnutrition through the end of the year. USAID is providing $476 million in critical humanitarian and development aid to the people of Somalia, bringing the U.S. total assistance for this year to more than $707 million. This humanitarian aid illustrates the United States' continuing commitment to the welfare of the people of Ethiopia, Kenya, and Somalia. We urge other partner governments, said Administrator Power, to join us in significantly increasing their own commitments to prevent widespread famine and millions of deaths.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiye Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokbilia Baro, and our engineer, Nelson Lopes, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM.